Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a very special person in our midst today. We want to welcome back Jenny Lee Vellacott. At least I think she's here. Yep, she is here. Somebody's pointing. Welcome back. We tried to make it as warm as possible when you came back, so she says she's doing just fine. It's good to have you back, and we're looking forward to connecting with you again. Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, as we look at your word this morning, I pray that you will speak clearly to each one of us, speak to our hearts the message that you want today, and Lord, speak through me, your servant, today by your Holy Spirit, I pray. Bless the children, too, that have just gone downstairs. Pray that you will minister through them and Mackenzie and the others as they lead, and Lord, that you will continue to teach and instruct them too in the way that they should go. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and so today you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. The Sermon on the Mount is actually not the title that's in Scripture. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. Whether it was a sermon or not, probably wasn't. Sorry. But it is a collection of probably just a number of days of teaching that Jesus did when he was up in Galilee, and it was put all together. It is a fine sermon, and don't get me wrong on that. And even as the Holy Spirit led Matthew to write it, it's put together very, very well. It has actually quite a flow to it. There are parallel passages in the book of Luke, and actually we'll be looking at a few of them today as well. But it was more than likely a collection of Jesus' teaching. I read through it in 15 minutes. Now, a good preacher, he'd be just warming up by the time 15 minutes was done. So I'm really thinking that we are just getting just some of the highlights of Jesus' teaching. He probably expounded on each one of these items, and there was probably a lot more. But we've got the key notes. We've got the key messages to us. I've spoken a number of times myself on the Sermon on the Mount. I'll use that term. I've spoken on the Beatitudes, salt and light, the Lord's Prayer, treasures in heaven, do not worry, the two roads, the straight and the narrow, the wise and foolish builders. Those are topics that we like to speak on. But personally, like others, I've skipped the harder part. Matthew 5:17 to 24. Until now, when Pastor Mike graciously gave them to his servants, while he and his family traveled to a distant country and spent his money enjoying green grass and trees, warm sunshine, fun tourist attractions, and sandy beaches. Few Sundays. We appreciate Pastor Mike very, very much, and he is back in Canada after a few cancellations and so forth. We look forward to having him. I'm not the pastor of the church. For those that don't know, I'm Albert Heal, but I am one of the elders of the church here. The first section that the other fellows spoke on, Sean.
We're going to plug you in a different way.
So. You don't like the way... Testing. Is that about right? Is that working? Okay. So if it's working, then I'm working. So in the first section, Sean and Pastor Peter and Dan preached on the theme of "You have heard it said." It was kind of the theme of chapter 5, and how Jesus dealt with the heart issues of people. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, we were told, had added a number of laws to the Old Testament laws so that the people would make sure that they followed the Old Testament laws by obeying all the other extra laws that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had added. And how Jesus condemned that because it became very legalistic. It was obeying laws and their hearts weren't right with God. So that was the first section. Today we're going to read Matthew chapter 6, 1 to 24. And in these verses, we're going to look at three examples that show the importance of our lives matching our actions. And Jesus is going to be talking about actions today. So let's read the text, Matthew chapter 6. "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, that your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their full reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. This then is how you should pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Three examples, as I mentioned. The first one is on giving. Now, in this sermon, Jesus starts with the phrase, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them." And so that's what he is addressing in these scriptures that we will be looking at today. So these three illustrations are illustrations of things that happened in that culture at that time that Jesus is addressing in regard to their righteous acts. Giving. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. Is it wrong to give? No, it's not wrong to give. Not at all. In fact, we're told throughout Scripture that we are to give. We are to give our tithes and our offerings. We are to give to the poor and needy. We are to give to the servants who give themselves full time to ministry. In Jesus' day, they were to give. There was Old Testament laws and regulations about giving to the priests to do their work. There was for the temple, for the upkeep of the temple and so forth. So it wasn't wrong to give. There was no problem with giving. It was the manner in how they gave. And I find it hard to believe, but apparently this is exactly what happened, that people would announce, especially these Pharisees and religious leaders who wanted to show how religious they were, would put on a big production to show how they were so righteous in their giving, and that's how they did it. And that's what Jesus was condemning. Not wrong to give. How you do it is what Jesus was addressing. If done right, if done so your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing, in other words, if you do it in secret between you and the Lord, it will receive God's reward. The next one is on prayer. Now, I'm not going to speak on the Lord's Prayer. Pastor Mike already has given a wonderful series on the Lord's Prayer. And obviously, it's not wrong to pray. We know that. We're told in Scripture probably more references to prayer than maybe any other topic, to pray and when to pray and examples of prayer and examples of the disciples praying. And long time ago, I was given an acronym on prayer called ACTS, and have it still written in my back of my Bible, ACTS, adoration. Scripture talks about adoring the Lord, or worshiping, confession, confessing our sins to God, to one another, thanksgiving. Our prayers should be full of thanksgiving, supplication, and asking for the things that we need. ACTS. That's just one just a quick acronym to remember some of the prayers that were talked about in Scripture. So absolutely not wrong to pray. But Luke 18 gives an example of a totally wrong way to pray. And I just want to read Luke 18, 9-14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness, so that's similar to this topic, maybe even part of this sermon. To some who were confident of their own righteousness, that's verse 9, and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Obviously done wrong. Wrong motives. The word I appears just in those few verses four times from the Pharisee as he stood up and prayed. It was all about himself. It was all for show. He was even pushing down other people to make himself look good. And Jesus condemned that. And he condemned it here in our portion. If that's how you're doing your prayer, if your prayer is just for show, then you're doing it wrong. You're like the hypocrites. But do it in secret, and then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. Now, obviously, there's nothing wrong with public prayer, and there is a time for public prayer, but it is not to bring praise and adoration to yourself. The third illustration is fasting. Verse 16. Is it wrong to fast, to deny yourself? No, it's not wrong to do that either. In fact, we're going through the time of Lent. And when you're giving up something, denying something, especially if it is unto the Lord, is really a type of fast. And actually, I found some interesting verses on fasting. I'm not going to expound on them for lack of time. But often when we think of fasting, we think of, okay, we cut off food, we stop eating, and I don't do that very often, but there have been times when we've been praying very seriously about an issue where we've not eaten for a period of time. And it is for a purpose of meeting with the Lord, seeking him in regard to something special, something that we needed an answer for it in that one particular incident. But some interesting verses in Isaiah 58, I'm not going to turn to them. If you want to read them later, Isaiah 58, 6 to 9. But God was condemning the fasting that the Israelites were doing at that time. And he said, this is the type of fasting that God likes, that's pleasing to the Lord. And then he started talking nothing about food and not eating. He talked about setting the oppressed free, sharing food with and taking care of the poor and the needy, taking time to spend and help others. And so it was fasting our time. It was fasting different things than just food. Zechariah 18 and 19 talks about fasts, and maybe even in the future, even in our day, that fasts will become a joyful and glad occasion and happy festivals. So fasting was really meant to be a real special time, a special time of close relationship with the Lord, whether you were seeking him in some particular, for a particular answer or what the case was. And maybe we don't do enough of fasting nowadays, but there are more than just fasting from food. And so fasting is definitely talked about in Scripture. Remember when the disciples were challenged, or Jesus actually was challenged about his disciples, your disciples aren't fasting. And Jesus said, well, how can they fast when the bridegroom is with them? And he said, but when I am gone, my disciples will fast. And so fasting is not wrong. In fact, we are told to fast. But when you do it like the hypocrites, they just figure themselves, put on this big show and production about how they are fasting and how righteous and religious they are because they're doing this. This is totally wrong. And Jesus condemned that. But if done right, if it's done between our Father in heaven who sees what goes on in secret, he will reward us. So who are hypocrites? If you've been in our Sunday school classes, the adult Sunday school classes, Ray Vanderlaan, in one of that The World May Know series lessons that we saw, he took us to a theater. And the word hypocrite is actually the word for actor, the word that we would use nowadays. It's from the theater. That's where that term comes from. And a hypocrite was a person who was acting somebody else. He was acting a different person for the play or the production that they were putting on. And so Jesus takes this term hypocrite, And he describes the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And the focus here was that they were not acting who they really were inside, but they were putting on a production that everybody else could see for the praise of men, but it wasn't truly who they were. And Jesus really condemned them. He used that word very strongly when he talked about them. And is it wrong to do good deeds? Is it wrong to give and to fast and other acts of righteousness? We've looked at it. No, it's not wrong. Levertov said this, although the disciples are to be seen doing good works, they must not do good works in order to be seen. It's the attitude. We are to be doing good works. We are to be doing good things, but it's not for the purpose of being seen and praise coming upon ourselves. The problem with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law is they were focusing on themselves and for receiving praise and adoration. And when we come to Matthew 23, that whole chapter, Jesus really condemns the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Just going to look at a few verses there. It's he's talking to the crowds and to his disciples. And he says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Verse 5, everything they do is for men to see. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Verse 25, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. Jesus really comes down very hard on hypocrites, people who are not living the way that they are acting on the outside. This morning, I wore a suit. I wore it for several reasons. One is to keep up with Sean, because he always wears a suit when he preaches. Another one is I like to dress up a little bit when I come up front. I probably got that from my dad, who liked to wear wore a suit every Sunday. But really today I wore a suit for the praise of men. I wanted people to notice. I wanted some explanations, some woo-hoos, and I wasn't disappointed when I came into church this morning. In fact, I got quite a few woo-hoos, and it was really, really quite special. And we're all dressed nice. We look nice and sharp this morning. And I even wore this tie. I've got a number of compliments on this tie. It has the Lord's Prayer on it, how people like this tie. But what is the truth? What is the reality this morning? I looked pretty nice when I came in. I think I fooled everybody that was here. But this is the reality. It's an old shirt. It's torn. It's a little dirty. Well, you know, that's just a little illustration of what was wrong with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. It was all outward appearance. And Jesus condemned that. He condemned that strongly. And he was looking at what was in the heart. What is on the inside? What is the driving force in your life. And when he talks about treasures in heaven, I believe this is really in keeping with the context of this. Yes, it's probably talking about money and wealth and so forth, but it's really about, I think, a little more beyond that. It's about our lives. It's about these very things that we are talking about. When Jesus says, don't store up treasures on earth, well, that's exactly what he said was happening to these people when they did all their acts before men. They wanted the praise of men, and that's all it was. It was just treasure on earth. Had no spiritual significance for heaven. There was nothing stored up for heaven. But he says, store up your treasures in heaven. And treasures in heaven is a right relationship with God. Yes, it may be talking about money, but we know we can't send money ahead to heaven. But it's serving the Lord in a right attitude. Serving the Lord from our heart. Having a right relationship with Him. Doing things for others. Yes, our giving and so forth, those are definitely things that I believe give treasure in heaven, but it needs to be done for between you and the Lord and not for the praise of men. Who are we serving? We're familiar with, in Luke 12, with the rich farmer, the farmer that got a real good crop. I'm just going to read these verses. I mean, we're very familiar with them. Another parable that Jesus told. Listen to how many times the word I and me are in these verses. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich for God. And that's exactly what was happening. These people were storing up treasures for themselves here on earth, but they were not rich toward God. So what does God see? What does Jesus see when he examines our lives? Interesting verse here. I'm just going to comment briefly on it because it is in the text today, verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And from what I can understand, the people had this concept, if you had good eyes, physical eyes, that let light into your body and brightened up your life. And I guess in a physical sense, that is true. Well, Jesus took that and he talked about if you're spiritually blind, if you're missing the point, you're not in relationship with God, it's all for yourself, then your life is full of darkness. And on the inside, it's very dark. And how great is that darkness? And I believe that's what those verses are talking about. So are we, say, like a torn shirt under a nice suit jacket? Remember, God doesn't look on the outside appearances. We know that from even back in the Old Testament when Samuel went to anoint David as king. Well, he went to anoint one of Jesse's sons as king. It ended up being David. But you remember as Jesse's son stood before him and Samuel looked at these men and he said, wow, you know, handsome, strong, real good leaders, really make a good soldier and so forth. And so he thought, well, here's the oldest. I'll anoint him as king. But God said, I have rejected him, the Lord said. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So that's the question today, to look at our heart. Now, there is another aspect. I'm not sure that it's really brought out here, but I do just want to address it very briefly. Are we doing good works, outside deeds, coming to church, putting money in the offering? Are we doing that for our salvation? And that is a very serious question that we do need to consider. And when in a few minutes, we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper. And I just do want to remind you very clearly that all our righteous acts, good things that we do, will never bring us salvation. Yes, we are told that we are to do them, but not for salvation. Our salvation is totally in the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we'll be remembering in a few minutes. I want to clarify that. But God does have a standard for us, a standard for our lives. And it goes back to chapter 5, verse 20. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of God. Our righteousness comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our righteous acts are to be done, but they are to be done in an attitude between you and your Father in heaven, not to be seen by men. So I'm going to call the elders and those that are serving the Lord's Supper to come forward. I'll put my suit jacket on so that you don't see the true me this morning.